such a privilege for me to share this message with you today, and I believe you're going to be benefiting from this, and I thank God that His fruit is just going to be seen in your life. The fruit of God is such a wonderful thing to have. It's a blessing to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, because we see that God's Word works. God's Word is bearing fruit. We are looking at Romans 6, 7, and 8 today, and I'm just going to touch on this, and I believe that in this broadcast, we're just going to take everything together that we said in the previous four broadcasts and just add a little bit to it. We must realize that we cannot bear fruit. It's impossible for you to bear fruit. And that either the Word of God bears fruit in you, or the law will bear fruit in you. Now, there's a difference between the law and commandments. The law is the mentality that says, by what I do, I'll be blessed. And commandments are the things that you think you need to do in order to be blessed. Let's look at the Muslims and the Hindus and the Christians. The Muslims are under the law because they say, by what I do, I'm going to be blessed. I need to do certain things in order to satisfy Allah, and then He'll be blessed with me by what I do, and then He will bless me, and if I don't do the right thing, He will curse me. Now, the same thing happens with the Hindus. They've got a certain thing they believe they must do in order to be blessed. And so, with a lot of Old Testament Bible people as well, they had the Ten Commandments, and they believed if we do right, then we'll be blessed. Now, these three different beliefs has got different commandments, different things they must do. The Muslims say we must pray three times a day. The Christians, or I don't want to say the Christians, the Old Testament believers had a different set of rules. They must slaughter animals, or they must do this or that, which the Muslims don't have. So if we can think, if we can know that the law is the mentality that says, by what I do, I'm going to be blessed, and that the commandments are the rules that be placed down, we will be, it will be so much easier to see a New Testament, if I want to put it that way, or a typical Christian rule that actually puts us in the same category as the Muslims and as the Old Testament believers and as the Hindus. So many people today, Christians today, are under the law. They think that by what they do, they're going to be blessed. And then we've just got a different set of rules. The born-again Christians today, a lot of the people that are under the law, and I've been one of them, we believe we don't have to slaughter animals anymore as sacrifices. We don't have to wear the right those robes in the Old Testament, all those things. But we've got a new set of rules. If we don't go to church enough, if we don't go to cell enough, if we don't leave these things, then God cannot bless us. If we do something wrong, then God cannot bless us because we've got sin in our lives. Then we've got our own set of rules, and we are still under the ministration of death. And that's why I believe, according to Romans chapter 7, so many Christians struggle with sin in their lives. The first thing I want to say today, and you must know this is a foundational thing, is that you can never declare yourself holy or unrighteous through your works. You can never do that. And I want to ask you this question, can anybody become righteous by what he does? Nobody can. The Bible says that nobody is justified by his works. Can anybody become holy as God by what he does? No, he cannot. Now, if you cannot become holy by your works, you cannot become unholy by your works. We are holy because we believe in Jesus, and we are not holy if we don't believe in Jesus. We receive death if we don't believe in Jesus Christ. You must realize that God spoke righteousness over all the earth, over everybody. It came unto all people. All people were included when Jesus Christ died on the cross and when He was resurrected. And only those who believe will receive that. So if you believe that you've been justified by the works of Jesus Christ, you will receive justification in your physical body and a change of life. And that which Jesus Christ has brought unto you will be seen in your life. Just never think that you are holy because you do holy things. Because so many times we will believe these things, and then one or once or twice we'll do something wrong, and then we will say we are not holy. That's a lie. You are not what you do, you are what you believe. You are what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. That's the easiest way to think of it. And that just sounds as just like a license to sin. You know, so many times I've heard people preach against the grace message, and they say we should not use grace as an opportunity to sin. And maybe people mean, like Paul, don't use grace as an occasion for the flesh. Saying this, that the more I sin, the greater God's forgiveness is, and the greater His forgiveness is, the more holy He looks. Now, what the people did in the Romans, and the reason why Paul wrote that, was people thought that if they could sin more, it will make God look more holy, because He could even forgive that bad sin and that bad sin. And then he said, man, don't you know that you've been risen into a new life with Jesus Christ, and that you can yield your members unto righteousness now? You can be open for the power of God's manifestation of holiness. And that's what He gives unto us. And that's just the whole context in which Paul wrote Romans chapter 6. And the moment people hear that, they hear, because what people say and what people hear are two different things. You must realize that. People say one thing, but it's received in a different way. The moment you say, watch out that when you hear grace, you don't use this as an opportunity to sin. People hear, you must be careful of the message of grace, because that's an opportunity to sin. And it's literally not like that. The message of grace is not an opportunity to sin. The message of grace is the opportunity unto holiness, is the opportunity unto manifesting the risen Christ in your physical body today. It's the opportunity to experience God's life in a human being today in this world because of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to read to you that the law is the opportunity to sin. It's what the Bible says. Let's read from verse 5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, that means when we were seeking to be justified by our works, when we were under the law, the motions or the passions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So what he says here is that the fruit that you will bear the moment you are under the law is the fruit of death, because, listen to what it says. It says that the passions of sin which were by the law. So the moment they were under the law, there were passions of sin in their lives. There was such a passion in them, such a desire to do the wrong thing. And I've seen that in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of so many people. When we sin, it's a passion that drives us. We want to do that wrong thing, but your mind says, don't do it. But there's a drive, there's a force that man, it can sometimes overtake your mind. It does overtake your mind. It saturates your whole thinking. You just think of that wrong thing. Let's take gossip, for instance. If you are under a rule that says you're not allowed to gossip, and you've heard this nice story, and you just feel this passion to start to tell to somebody, and you refuse, you say, well, I'm not going to say that to anybody. The moment you say that, the power level of that passion increases. And then you say, I will not do this. And the more you say that, the more the power level increases. That passion just grows, because your sin, the more you're under the law that says, I'm going to obey this law, the more you're under that, the more that very law works sin in your life. Not that the law is not holy, but because of your sinful nature, it brings forth the sinfulness of man's human ability compared to the holiness of the law, and you will do that wrong thing. And then you'll go to somebody and you'll say, well, I'm just going to share it with some brother so that we can pray about it. And that sin becomes exceeding sinful. That's what happens. It's just hidden. Hidden deeper, but the same thing is manifesting. That's what he says here. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, being dead. That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Let me read that again. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter or in the oldness of the law. So what he says is there's a new life for you by the finished work of Jesus Christ, that you don't have to serve those commandments anymore. And you might just say, Bertie, how will people live holy? How will there be structure? I want to tell you that there's a stronger power than the law. There's a stronger power than that of rules and regulations. And that is the power of the Spirit and the indwelling Christ. Hallelujah. It's more powerful than the law of sin and death. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Now, I had not known sin, but by the law. Listen to what he says. He says, the law is not sinful. The law points out sin. He says, I wouldn't have known sin if it wasn't for the law. Now, the same for you. And I know this is radical, but I want to say this. You wouldn't have known sin if it wasn't for being under a law. And this is what Paul says, for I have not known lust except the law had said, you shall not covet or lust. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment. That word occasion is the word opportunity. Remember what I said, that grace is not an opportunity for sin. It is an opportunity for righteousness. Paul just said to them in Romans chapter 6, don't misunderstand the thing. Because in chapter 5 he explained to them that the more we sin, the more grace abounded. And the more holy it made God look, because he could forgive all that sin and he died for all that sin. So the measure of our sin also portrayed the measure of God's goodness. Because of our great sin, we could see how great the love of God is, because he could forgive us. And then Paul said to them in Romans 6, don't continue in this sin so that we might try to make God look better. No, we can make God look better, this is human, in a human way speaking, by yielding ourselves unto holiness. And in this way it works. By what we've done wrong, he was seen as holy because he could forgive us. And now he is seen as holy because of the holiness that is in him, that he could make manifest in somebody that was even under the works of or under the power of sin. Now that's what he explained in Romans chapter 6 verse 1 when he said, don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use this as an opportunity to go and walk in sin. He says, don't you know that you've been set free from that now? So the grace message is not an opportunity for sin. And so many people think that we should not preach grace. We should not minister this grace in Christ's message all the time. Sometimes it's good, but not all the time. We must rather focus on what we should do as Christians, what we should do for God, how we should win the nation, and how we should live a holy, noble life in this world. And then we sometimes touch on the good news in our sermons, but we don't touch but we touch so much more on what we should do as Christians. And I don't believe that is what Jesus Christ ministered. I believe that this message of good news will bring forth righteousness. Nobody taught me how to win the lost. And I'm an evangelist. I do crusades. I win the lost. If I see somebody, I speak to him about Jesus. I testify where I go. And the only thing that taught me to do this was the very nature of God that indwells me. I've never been to an evangelism seminar once in my life. I've never done that. I've never been taught how to, you know, you must do things this way. Otherwise, that's the only way to evangelize. I've never been taught that. Nobody said to me, go and do open air gospel crusades. Nobody said to me, pitch a tent and preach the gospel. I just felt in my heart that will be a good thing to do. Nobody said to me, you must go and pray for the sick and that's what a Christian should do. No, I felt such a power in my innermost being that I just wanted to go and evangelize and preach to the lost. And that's the very same force that's still driving me today. Because I love people, because of God's nature in me, that's why I preach. When I see people suffer, I feel in my heart for them. Because I know the deliverance that's in me and how easy it is to get out of depression, how easy it is to get out of a low self-worth, and how easy it is to walk in victory. And when I see them suffering and giving their lives to get out of that, but they can't get out of that, there's a love in me, which is God's love, that compels me to share the gospel with them. And that love is greater than feeling ashamed to speak to somebody. I also sometimes, you know, when I see people, I must go and speak to them. I feel, man, what they're going to think? Maybe they're going to chase me away. I feel a bit ashamed. How can I just approach this guy and speak to him? I also feel that sometimes. But I want to tell you this, that the force that's in me is so much greater than that thought. It's just a thought that says, you know, this person can just be negative. But there's a force that says, God loves him. Hallelujah. Isn't God good, man? That's what He wants for us. Remember, grace is not the opportunity to sin. But the law gives opportunity to sin. Let me read verse 8. Romans 7 verses 8. And this is how, this is the fruit which we call sin that's in the lives of so many people. And this is how it gets into your life. By this it says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, sin in you has got an opportunity to manifest when you're under rules and regulations. I've seen it so many times. The more I've, in my life when I was still preaching the law, the more I preached to people, don't do this, the more they did it. The more I told the people, you must give, the less they gave. And the more they struggled financially, they eventually couldn't give. The more I told people, you must come to church, the less they would come. The more I told people, you must be committed, the less committed they were. And the only committed ones that there was just strong-willed people that could just put down their flesh by the power of their will, and they would be there. And a lot of them wouldn't even be happy. They wouldn't even be happy. And the reason why they were there was because of their sheer obedience. But there was not life flowing from the innermost being in being committed. So, it says in verse 8, but sin, taking an opportunity by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of evil. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What Paul said here is he had himself a nice revival. He said, when I came under the law, sin revived. I've seen one of my friends, he tried to live the right life. And he started to go to church and he just wanted to do the right thing. And the more he did the right thing, the worse he got. He would, for a period of time, he would just do the right thing. He wouldn't sin, and he would try and live a holy life, and he would go to church, and he'll spend time with his wife and his children, and all those type of things. But then all of a sudden, he fell into a hole almost deeper than what he ever was. And that is not what God wants for him. And what wrought that sin in him? He said, well, there's a commandment that is given. I must go to church and I must live a holy life. Otherwise, I'm not going to have a happy marriage and I'm not going to go to heaven. And then he started to go to church. He started to leave his sin and a new man was born. But that man was born out of the will of the flesh and not out of God. And that man fell. And I thank God that he could hear the good news, and the good news can change his life, and that he can be born of the Spirit, and he will never fall back again. The only way for him to fall back again, or for anybody, or for me to fall back into sin, and a life of sin, a life of alcohol abuse, and just sin, will be for me to get back under the commandment. Because sin, everybody of us, there's sin in our lives. And that sin is dormant. And it's activated the moment we get under the law. Man under rules and regulations equals death. Man under rules and regulations equals sin. But man under the good news of Jesus Christ equals the manifested Christ in a human body. Hallelujah. That is the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that is good news. I hope you enjoy that, because that is what the Word says. Let's read from verse 11. It says, "For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by the commandment slew me." So what he said was that the sin in us takes occasion or has got an opportunity by the commandment, and it deceives you and it slews you. It will slay you. It will kill you. Amen. So sin is a fruit in the life of any person when he's under the law and under commandments. "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good." So what he says is the commandment is holy, but there's a sin in me that will just use that commandment to just come forth. So the law is not sin. The law is not bad. The law is good. Just like fire. Fire is good. Fire is such a good thing. How can man live without fire? But if you've got petrol or gasoline poured out all over you, fire is not good for you. Because the gasoline will use the opportunity. It will use the fire to bring forth its nature. I want to repeat myself. Petrol is a good thing, but it's not good for... fire is a good thing, but it's not good for somebody who's got petrol poured out all over him. Because the petrol will use the opportunity that it's got to burn the moment it gets close to fire. The same with sin. Sin is in you. And the law is good and holy. But that sin will use the opportunity to show itself the moment it gets close to the law. So the law is the opportunity. Being under the law is the opportunity for sin to manifest in your life. So the further you can get away from rules and regulations to be justified by, the holier you will live. Now don't run away from everything that's good. I don't want to say that. Run into the new nature of Jesus Christ. Believe what He's freely given unto you, and that you are already holy. That you are just if you've believed on Him. That your sins has been pardoned by Jesus. That His blood has washed you. That the new nature indwells you. And that you are the very righteousness of God because of Christ. If you believe that and are fully persuaded of that, my friend, you will bear fruit unto righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Verse 23. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Now what he says in Romans 8, he says, we've been set free from the law of sin and death. By the law of life. The law of sin and death works this way. If I seek to be justified by my works, sin will be present and that will lead me unto death. But the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of life? If I believe in Jesus, life will manifest in me, holiness will manifest in me, righteousness will manifest in me, and I will see eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? That's the gospel. If you can take this and just listen to it over and over and over and over and become your mind, until your mind is saturated with it, until your belief system is full of it, you will see such a holiness in your life. You will feel such a peace. Now, if you don't see righteousness in your life, it doesn't mean you must go and say, I must stop to do this and I must start to do the other thing. No. If you do see sin in your life, what must you do? Go back to the good news, because you're out of the good news. You are back under rules and regulations again. Get under the good news, because the good news manifests life. And if you see sin in your life, it's because in that area of your life, you must go and hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So, know this, you cannot bear fruit but what you open your heart for, the doctrine you open your heart for, the belief system that's in your heart, your belief system will bear fruit. The word that you believe will bear fruit. If you are under the law, even if it looks good, you will bear fruit unto death. But if you are under the message of grace, mercy, and God's unconditional love, and the message of being in Christ, the in Him message, and Him in you message, you will bear fruit unto life. Man, isn't that wonderful? Let's just pray together. Father, I want to pray for every person that's watching me right now. I thank you that you love them. I thank you that your power is all over them and that you have your good news manifesting in their lives. Like Colossians 1 verse 6 says, the word bears fruit in us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.